Welcome to Attract Your Soulmate, the keys conscious, smart, successful women need to know to attract the right partner and create lifelong love. Brought to you by the Art of Love and Feminine Power Programs. Your hosts for the series are best-selling author Arielle Ford and Claire Zammit, founder of Feminine Power.
Hi, everyone. Welcome. It's Claire.
Hi, and it's Arielle.
We have so many women coming on the line that we want to make sure everyone's going to be able to get on the event. So I think this is very metaphoric for what we've experienced over the past 10 days, Arielle, with an expansion of our capacity.
Abundant love for all.
We're opening our hearts and expanding our capacity to hold the energy of big love in our lives. And so we're so excited to be here with you today. We have an amazing event that we've created. But first, we are going to start with an opening centering meditation. We have over 200,000 women registered for this event. It's beyond anything that we could possibly imagine. I was trying to visualize it over the weekend, Arielle, 200,000 of us in a big love manifesting power circle. So if you felt that this incredible field over these past 10 days, it's because of each and every one of us here with our attention, with our energy, creating this incredible love vibration. I know that has been the source of so much deep healing, clarity, power, possibility. The number of posts that we have received from women who had felt resigned or hopeless or couldn't see the way, that has been replaced with a deep opening to a sense of power, possibility, and connection to a soulmate. Already having begun that relationship, having opened to love, having let go of a lot of old limiting blocks and baggage in a way that makes space for big love in our lives. And so let's begin as everyone is gathering, thousands and thousands of us here together in the field, creating a space to come together as a global community in this configuration. One last time, this is our series finale event, so we are going to, let's begin by amplifying and expanding the capacity of that love vibration even further. Arielle, would you like to lead us?
Oh, I would love to. Thank you, Claire. Okay, everybody, let's get into the same love frequency vibration together. We'll make this short and sweet and easy. So if it's safe to do so, just gently close your eyes. And let's take a few nice, deep, long breaths in through our nose and out through our mouth. Now place your hands over your own heart and send yourself a little wave of love. Let's first give ourselves a little love. Thank ourselves for making the time to care enough to make this time for ourselves, to focus our attention on the grand possibility of manifesting our beloved. And with our attention on our heart, think of somebody in your life who loves you deeply. It could be a friend, a parent, a child, a sibling, a coworker, even a pet. Just in your heart space, hold the vision of someone you know really, truly loves you. And just feel how good it feels to have this love of theirs in your life. And then on the exhale, send them a wave of your love. Now choose another person in your life that you're so sure loves you. And send them a wave of love as well. And let's pick one more person in our life that loves us. Feel how good it know, we know, we feel to have this loving connection, this deep loving connection. And now send them a wave of love. And keeping your attention on your heart, remember this moment that there's always great love in your life, whether you're aware of it or not. And breathe in the knowingness that you are loved already by so many, that you already have so much love in your life. And in this moment, as we gather here on this global call, let's silently send each other a wave of love. 200,000 open-hearted, smart, successful women in countries around the world. Send out your love to the circle. Send your love to this community that is dedicated to raising our love vibration, that is dedicated to living in the knowingness that we are loved. We are loving beings, and we're bringing each other to new and higher levels of love. And so it is.
And so it shall be. Wow, thank you, Arielle. That was beautiful.
Love you, Claire.
I love you. You're one of the people I was thinking of while we were doing that amazing meditation. So if you felt an amazing field over the last 10 days, I mean, we've never felt anything like it in the years that we have been hosting this event. Our hearts are blown wide open. I'll just speak for myself, and Ariel,
wild with excitement. You know, we've done this before, but honestly, I've never felt so connected to a group of women, most of whom I've never met, as I have to this one. And you know, I think part of it is, you know, all the emails and Facebook posts that are coming in, but just on an energetic level, on the unseen plane, I am just like filled up and smiling all the time.
Well, you know, we set an intention at the beginning of this event to create a program that was especially for the women that we love and feel most called to be of service to, and women in our life and our communities, smart, successful, creative, gifted, brilliant, amazing women who are creating amazing things in their life, in the world, who were born to experience and express deep love, who have struggled, who've been disappointed. And we made it our mission in everything that we've done to bring it all together in one program and identify the keys that women like us in this community most need to know to create a partnership with someone who is a soulmate, not just someone to get married or, you know, kind of get together with someone, but to create a relationship where you can be truly met and seen and known and partnered in a way that supports your growth, your evolution, your creativity flourishing, your financial prosperity, your sense of joy, adventure, fun, and play. And that was our intention. And I had, you know, I'm a fairly ambitious person when we create things, but this really exceeded all of my expectations in terms of the impact that it's had. I mean, we've had so many posts coming in from women who are just saying that this has given them access to clarity, to power, to possibility. So we're humbled. We're absolutely in awe. We're going to give you our very best highlights, tips, takeaways. We're going to share with you really insights from the series, as well as the five keys to attracting a soulmate. And we're going to close with a powerful love manifesting ritual with our global circle. And I love what Cammie posted on Facebook. She said, through the huge love present on these calls, I feel like I'm deeply in touch with who I am, that I am love. And I'm resonating with everything everyone's sharing. It's just amazing. Thank you. So So we have created a powerful space of deep healing, of deep awakening, of power and possibility together. And we're so grateful for you being here. Your being with us has contributed to making this possible, both for yourself and for everyone else. We're also going to show you how you can avoid the biggest mistakes we've seen conscious, smart, successful women make after a program or an event like this, when something ends, after you've been through an experience like this. And we're going to share with you what you absolutely must do to apply these keys and make this the year that you meet your soulmate and begin your lifelong journey to love together. So we're going to recap and show you how you can hold on to the vision of your soulmate partnership after the series is over. We're going to show you how to rewrite the ending of your love story. You have the power and the pen is in your hand to do that. We're going to show you how you can embrace your worthiness to receive love now. We're going to show you how you can live and create from your feminine power on your journey to meeting your soulmate. And we're going to show you how to keep your love vibration high and apply master manifesting techniques each and every day and amplify your magnetism to meet your conscious mate.
And I want to share just a few of the comments that we've gotten so far. Narani said, "What an event. Oh, my God, I've never seen anything like this online, ladies. Way to set the bar way high and in the name of love yet. Wow." And then Shelley R. said, "The series is groundbreaking and will likely go on to help millions of women find their soulmates and create the future possibilities of loving relationships on the planet." And then Reshma said, "Thank you for taking a stand for women around love, providing a platform for our growth and journey to finding our soulmate. I am inspired, moved, and supported by this experience." And then Cami K said, "I'm just blown away. This course is filling in all the missing pieces I've ever had in the area of relationships. I'm completely aligned, and every day the questions I had come up on the panels and in the seminars. Thank you so much for creating this amazing experience." Oh, Claire, amazing, right?
Can you take that in? Like, I mean,
it's a lot, you know. I mean, and I've been getting emails separate from all of this, so it just, you know, I know when we set out to do this, you and I had this really deep conversation where we set the field of intention of providing not everything that we knew, but more importantly, what we didn't know that other people didn't know that they didn't know. And that's
right.
What happened. Right? Remember that conversation?
Yeah. Well,
I mean, that's how long it took to put this together. Yeah.
And I see Colleen from British Columbia and Cami from Wilmington and Linda and Anne from Ann Arbor and Leah from Tupelo and Christina from Raleigh and Jennifer from Blue Hill and Lynn from Thunder Bay and Karen and Deb and Irene and Meg and Branker. I just, so many posts coming in here. So it's like, I'm just smiling in each and every cell. So we want to hear from you throughout the event. If you post a comment for us and share your experience and what your breakthrough is, we would love to hear from you as well as we go through. Okay. So shall we dive in, Ariel?
Let's do it. Let's go for it. Where do you want
Let's
to start?
Let's get started. So grab a pen and paper if you haven't yet already, because you're going to want to take notes as we go through and write down some of these takeaways, power statements, ahas. So let's start with how we got started. We asked the question, why is it so hard for all of the brilliant, awesome women? Why was it so hard for us? If we think back to where we were completely having all of the experiences that so many of you have shared with us before we had our own breakthroughs. Why is it hard, so frustrating, so confusing for conscious, smart women to create the love that feels like it should be very natural and very easy? And Ariel, remember I was sharing with you the big insight that I had in my work with feminine power is that we're in one of the biggest shifts in human history right now, like the planet hasn't seen for the past 5,000 years in dynamics between men and women, They've been changed forever. This is one of the biggest moments in human history. And the ways in which women have needed to orient, to break through the, you know, very real barriers of oppression, the outer glass ceilings in the world, to prove themselves in the world. Remember the adage, you have to be twice as good and kind of do it in
right.
half the time
right.
to get the same
point. And dance in high heels backwards.
And look, you know, while taking care of the kids and all of these other things. So the, you know, the way of focusing and the way of driving success in the world has been, you know, required many of us to step into a very masculine kind of power where we're very results-driven, we're doing-oriented, we set a goal, we break it down into tasks, we're very much focused on driving success. And that has really served us well. We're more educated than ever. We're graduating from college in higher numbers. We're the primary breadwinners in the American workforce. We are stepping into positions of leadership and absolutely rocking it on so many levels, even though there's a lot of unfinished work. But it's come at a tremendous cost to our relationships. So for those of us who've adopted that mode, that same mode and same way of orienting and focusing, it's not a way of orienting and focusing that necessarily creates intimacy, creates connection. We felt like we're not valuable for who we are, that we have to take care and we have to prove ourselves and we have to do and we have to accomplish and we've
And we have to earn love, right?
Yeah,
you know, we
exactly.
have to earn love. Where did that come from? Right?
And so,
who we are is enough.
Right? So we've been leading with our resumes, you know, and we've been kind of out there being competitive and in many ways we've become very multidimensional. Right? We can, you know, we've developed a part of ourselves, you know, we've developed our masculine side in a way that men haven't necessarily developed their feminine side. So we've become, you know, very integrated whole human beings. And so the question is like, well, you know, we have this yearning now not to, so it's this shift into the masculine, or some of us have rejected the masculine and we have, you know, kind of chosen to stay more in a feminine mode, but in many ways we've also felt disempowered because we've had no access to power, so we often feel dependent on a man and we feel very vulnerable and we feel very insecure, so there's a whole other set of issues there. But the other thing that's really changed is that our expectations for a relationship are radically different than they were in our grandmothers and mothers' generation. We don't just want to meet someone to procreate. We want to meet someone that we can co-create with. We want to meet with someone that we can, you know, we can be loved for who we are. We can certainly create comfort, security, all of those things. But our higher possibilities, our creativity, our self-expression, that these are growth-oriented relationships where we're with someone who is a true soulmate, where we're seen, we're known, we're met, we're understood. And so that's the yearning that's present. So it's like, you know, it's never been more difficult because of this, you know, these things that have happened that are bigger than us in our world. And at the same time, we're yearning for something that's on a much higher level than has ever been desired before as something to aspire to in human loving relationships. And so that might have left you feeling like you're doing it wrong or you're failing or there's something wrong with you. If you've ever said, like I used to, what's wrong with me? Why can't I get this right when it seems so easy for my mother or my grandmother or there's no conscious men out there? I mean, that used to be my story. I've met them all. They don't exist. Or, you know, that marriage is going to somehow limit me. You know, and I don't want to end up limited and, you know, a lesser version of myself where I'm too old to I have this body size or I'm too damaged or I'm too smart or I'm too brilliant or I can't find someone who can meet me. And, you know, it's left many of us kind of saying, well, you know, I don't really need a relationship, you know, or I don't want to have a relationship. And the truth is, though, this is what we've seen, is that being in the right relationship and being able to forge a deeply healthy, lasting intimate bond with your soulmate is one of the most important foundations for a happy, long, healthy, and fulfilling life. And the research coming out from Harvard University, the research about health and longevity, even more than green juices, yoga, meditation, success in your career, the foundation for having a sense of happiness, well-being, support is having a loving, happy partnership. And so, you know, what would you say, Ariel, is your experience now on the other side of having discovered how to create that?
Oh, well, I have to say that being married to my soulmate, what I really love most about it is that every morning I get to wake up to someone who's like beyond happy to see me, gives me lots of hugs, tells me how beautiful I am and how much he loves me. And I live in this near daily feeling of being drenched in love, saturated in love, infused with love and support and devotion. And honest to God, sometimes it almost seems too good to be true and I just pinch myself. You know, it's just amazing. And I know you share something very similar with your incredibly perfect soulmate for you, Craig. What do you most love about it?
Well, I was having a weekend. It was Craig's birthday this weekend, which was really lovely and sweet. And we were talking about this as I was reading the post coming in, and I was saying, you know, one of the nicest things is having a breakfast, lunch, and dinner date every day for the rest of my life, if I want it, with someone who's handsome and loving and entertaining. And I joke about that, but there is a deep sense of security and safety and of being unconditionally loved for who I am. And there's no one I need to do or be other than who I am. So it's like being able to be just this very relaxed, let go, supported, having someone to say, hey, what do you think about this? And what do I do? I mean, life is getting more complex. And, you know, having someone that you can be a sounding board with about major life decisions or things that you're doing or that you're up to, as well as someone you can go and have fun with. And I know that there's someone that you can meet for each and every one of us here. There is a person that you can share that kind of connection with who will light up and just thank the universe and the Lord above that you exist, that you are the person that that they have been looking for their entire life to be with. You fit together in a way that has you become a powerful team. So just being able to feel like I'm in a shared experience of life has enabled me to have so much more confidence, courage, creativity, focus on the big picture, take creative risks in my career, and I think it's healed me. I mean, I think there's a lot of myths around just, you know, you have to completely love yourself first or you have to not have any other issues in your life, you know?
Oh, my God, that is so, so true. I am so astounded. One of the first times Brian and I met, he said to me, one of the reasons we've come together in this lifetime is to heal each other. And I didn't know what he meant by that. I really didn't. And, you know, after spending a few years with him, I realized that was true, that the level of healing and self-love that I was able to grow into by seeing the love he had for me, I could have never done on my own. And while it's true that we don't necessarily need a soulmate, right, we can take care of ourselves, why would you want to go through life alone when this level of love is absolutely possible for everyone?
I know. It's really possible. So you don't have to become a perfect person. You don't even have to do all of these things correctly. You just need to make a few shifts and open to possibility and take a few new actions. That will be enough to create the kind of love that we're talking about. And that's exactly what we created this program for. So we've discovered there's five keys all of our experts are talking about and that we've seen you absolutely must master to, and when I say master, it's like have a shift, have a new way of seeing. These are things you can get in an instant just by listening to one of the sessions. So we're going to do a quick recap of those five keys, and then we're going to share some of our series highlights with you. So the first key that we shared is that you absolutely must have a clear vision of the kind of relationship you most want to create. you absolutely must know what worked or what didn't work in your past relationships. You need to be very clear on what you most want to feel in your new relationship. So you want to feel loved. You want to feel adored. You want to be with someone who has an open heart. You must be really clear about your must-haves and your deal-breakers. You have to know what matters most to you in life, what your values are, what your vision is. And while you might want to look, you know, rather than having a list of a lot of external descriptions, like, you know, I want them to be this height or this salary, the qualities that make someone a great life partner are that they have an open heart, that they're financially responsible, and that they're able to communicate. I'm just going to say this, you know, one more time. They have an open heart, they're financially responsible, and they're able to communicate. It's not as important that they have the exact same life experience or interests as you. So having clarity about that is absolutely important, because you need to be with someone who has these qualities of being a good life partner, as well as having this kind of chemistry with. So we really went into this very deeply in our first kickoff session on amplifying your love manifesting power. It's available as a free download for everyone. That's going to take you into that whole process much more deeply. The second key that we worked with is that you must release limiting ideas that you've had about your own worthiness for being loved, about the possibility of you having the kind of partner that you desire. So you're willing to believe it's possible for you at any stage, at any age, at any weight, at any income level, that that love is possible for you, right? So this is where you know you have this key really working. You believe that the world is full of awesome partners. You believe that a conscious partner, a conscious man, will be excited to support your success. You believe that your life will only become better and richer and fuller with the right partner. And that you believe that with a little time and energy and intention, that you can co-create an amazing life partnership, and you're willing to make an investment of time and energy into that. So that's really what it looks like to not have any limiting beliefs that are in your way. And our seminars really help you to transform anything in the way of that. And the next key that we worked with was igniting and activating your feminine power. So self-love is one of those keys, that you know that I'm imperfect, but I love yourself. I love myself anyway. You love yourself anyway. Self-love means taking care of yourself, taking time to self-soothe when you get stressed or upset, having tools to heal and replenish your soul. Self-love is about developing boundaries and having well-being, creating well-being in your life, and being able to trust yourself when you say yes, that it means yes, and trust yourself when it says no, it means no. When you cultivate this kind of self-love and connection, you raise your love vibration, you raise your worthiness to receive, and you begin to manifest. You begin to be in a vibration where you can become a powerful manifester and become magnetic to love. And you know, the next key, the fourth key, is that you are able to become magnetic. So, you know, a woman who is magnetic doesn't harbor anger or resentment or judgmental thoughts or is critical. She's present. She's open. She's prioritizing relationship, right? So a woman who is magnetic to love knows how to communicate her needs and desires in a friendly, inviting way, knows how to pay attention and listen deeply, knows how to be transparent and vulnerable and able to receive support, knows how to be generous with her praise and appreciation, and really give her partner wins. And the final key is knowing how to present yourself online and in person and be able to make connections and sort with clarity so that you don't waste time and get burnt out by investing in the wrong people And this is one of the most important keys of all. If you've done other work in this area, it's usually, and you know, you haven't been successful, it's usually because you haven't got this key down. So there are keys. We're going to be underscoring them as we go through our recap. We want to hear from you what you've discovered as we go through on each of these keys as they've resonated. We want to hear from you and celebrate all of your openings and breakthroughs at the same time. All right. So let's dive in. So you're going to want to follow on with us as we go through the highlights and the recap. So what I want to invite you to do is just click on your on the link that's below the player that says visit the Attract Your Soulmate course page. As you visit the Attract Your Soulmate course page, click on that link that's on your computer right below the player that says visit your soulmate course page. And it says day one, keynote one, invoking Aphrodite, aligning power and vulnerability to attract your soulmate. But if you're in front of your computer right now, I want to invite you to just click on the link that says visit the Attract Your Soulmate course page so you can follow on with us with these highlights and takeaways and know where to find your way back to these seminars. So just keep scrolling down the page until you see keynote number one, Marianne Williamson, and we'll be getting there in just a moment. Okay, so before we share about day one, Ariel, would you like to share a quick recap on our first key about visioning your soulmate relationship?
You know, one of the things we talked about on the kickoff call was, you know, how do we know if he's life partner material? You know, because there's so many elements to not just the feeling, oh, yes, he's the one, the chemistry's hot, this is my soulmate. But there's some really big questions you need to ask yourself, and I'm going to share with you just a few of them. So can you count on him to keep you physically and emotionally safe? When you're stressed out or hurt or sick, will he provide concern and assistance? When you share your thoughts, feelings, or worries, will he listen and respond with compassion, empathy, and care? And do you trust him and can you count on him to keep his word? And does he want to spend time with you and make future plans? And will he celebrate your wins in life and hold your hands in the down times? And as we mentioned a minute ago, is he financially responsible? And then perhaps this is most important, is his happiness as important to you as your own? So if you can check most of those boxes, you've got a keeper. Those are just really critical things to have. And then one of the other things we did on that call was I talked about how to have love before first sight, and did a process where I was able to take you into the unseen planes and connect a golden cord between you and your beloved in what is known as the unified field or the divine matrix. This is the place that quantum physics has proven exists, and it's where the past, the present, and the future is all happening at once, and we are already connected to everything and everybody. So the great news is your soulmate isn't missing. You are already connected to them on this unseen plane, and you can start the relationship in this moment, right now, today, talking to them. And if you haven't heard that call or you want to hear it again, that's one of the free downloads. Make sure to do this process. So
that was the first session we did, Amplify Your Love Manifesting Power, and the first key. So you need chemistry, and you need someone who has the qualities of being a great life partner. It's not enough just to have a soulmate connection, to have a fulfilling, happy, lifelong partnership. They must have those qualities of being a great life partner and also have a healthy capacity for attachment. We'll share more about that when we get to Dr. Levine. but it's very clarifying. You're not just looking for someone you feel a magical connection to. You're looking for someone you feel that chemistry with, that they have these qualities of being a great life partner, and they want the same things as you. So if you find someone who has all of those things together, that's a recipe for lifelong, fulfilling, happy, healthy, loving partnership. So a takeaway is, though, Ariel's process, don't wait to meet that person to begin your relationship with them. Step into beginning to connect with them, beginning to talk to them. And what that's going to do, it's going to begin to transform your identity from being someone who's single to being someone who's already part of a partnership. And that's going to have you show up in a new way in your life. That's going to have you feel more secure, more authentic, more loving, more open in a way that will support you in the process of actually bringing it into manifest form. One of my power statements that I worked with in this process of anchoring into this new identity was, I am an ecstatically, happily married woman. And I would walk down the street saying that. I would order coffee like that. I would just be in my life. And at first it felt like a coat that didn't fit, but I began talking to Craig. I know it was Craig I was talking to every day. And I began that process. And it really helped me to let go of feeling, you know, worried, because so often we don't feel a connection, or we don't feel a sense of possibility, and so resignation sets in, and then we don't show up in ways that would have us be able to create love. So that's a very powerful practice to begin with. So if you're on the page right now, you'll see day one, invoking the goddess Aphrodite to manifest and create love with our beloved, amazing friend, Marianne Williamson. This was one of the most profound seminars and sessions I've ever heard her share on this topic. It's from a new work that she created last year on invoking Aphrodite, the goddess Aphrodite. And I think the key thing that I want to share, the insight that Marianne was sharing, is so often, you know, I mean, there's so much that you absolutely have to listen to that helps to understand where we've been in the larger story of our women in power, things I spoke about at the beginning of this call that she goes into. But the main thing she was saying is that, you know, those of us who have been really cultivating power in the world have been more aligned with the goddess Athena, and that's caused us to go into this mode of doing, where we feel outside of Aphrodite's temple. So we are yearning for love, longing for love, and we think that it's in meeting the man that we're going to get to the experience of love, as opposed to it's in making a shift into a different archetype where we're focusing on and prioritizing love and relationship, and it's a different mode and way of being. And Marianne shares all about how to do that during that session. But that we can shift our attention to make love where our focus is, and it essentially become Aphrodite, like we are in the temple of love, and then we're inviting a beloved to join us there, as opposed to we're outside the temple, and we're outside of the experience of love trying to create it, which is a pretty impossible task. So I think the key takeaway from that session is to shift into being love, prioritizing relationship, creating empty space in your life, focusing on preparing your home, your heart, inside and out, to receive and generate love. Create time to meditate, to pray, to create a sense of sacred space where you're valuing being as you are doing. And what that begins to create is a space for the archetype of love to show up through you, which in turn will give you the power to begin to create and expand it in your life.
Love that. Oh, and then day one, we also have our success story with Liana Chiuli. And Liana is this high-powered transformational teacher, and she's a stylist to many of the top teachers in our field, Claire. She's just amazing. And she met her soulmate in her mid-50s after two really disastrous marriages. And she did this after she learned how to heal her, what she calls, I'm not lovable enough wounds. And she got to embracing her large, curvy body and her big belly. And today she's madly in love with her soulmate, Victor, who is, you know, while a highly conscious man and a real giver and a heart surgeon, he knew nothing about the life that she leads, about the world of spirituality and personal growth, totally unaware of it. But then once they got together and she slowly exposed him to this world, he told me at a dinner recently he loves reading Deepak Chopra books and he loves going to personal growth workshops with her. So, you know, to say that there's no conscious men out there, part of everything that we're doing here is really defining for you what a conscious man is. And it's very different than what you're thinking.
So I think one of the takeaways is to it's to give up the idea if you're wanting a conscious partner that they have to have read all of the same books or studied all of the same things as you. I think what you're most looking for is what John Gray is going to talk about, is really someone who's on purpose, who has high integrity, who has a capacity to love, and is really interested in you, is really fascinated by you, and really open to receiving the wealth of life experience that you have, right? So I think that's really a key, how that they don't necessarily have to have the same interest, but they're interested in you.
And I just love how John was talking about how the act of seduction is actually a masculine energy move. That was really new for me.
We'll go into John. So if you're on the page, just scroll down to where it says day two on John Gray, Attracting a Conscious Man. If you've just joined us, you can click on the link below the player. It's going to take you to our program information page, our course page. And scroll down and you'll see all the way down to where you see John Gray on the page, down past Liana's story. So John has just written a book that I think is a groundbreaking book with our friend Arjuna Agar on conscious men and looking at what really defines a conscious man, because he said, you know, he was so sick and tired of women coming to him complaining and saying, where are all the conscious men? There aren't any. And it really got him curious, like, well, what is it that women are trying to name? And what is it that women mean about that? And I think that, you know, when I was sharing with John, like this is what I really saw, is that as a woman who is interested in personal growth and development, it's like either there's an experience of, you know, kind of, you know, you kind of have a man who's sensitive, who's in tune, who might be interested in spirituality, who is maybe kind of very in his feminine, that kind of keeps you in the masculine energy where you are worrying about money and safety and security and surviving, and you know, you kind of end up in this mother position. Or if you are with a powerful, strong, successful man, he's more of the alpha. It kind of forces you to be more of the submissive feminine, which for me, like, that just wasn't me. So it always felt like, you know, I couldn't really find someone who could meet me on all of these levels. So, you know, John really named in this seminar the key shifts that I myself went through as I was going through the process of creating a space to meet Craig. And what he said is, you know, if that's your experience, it's because you are way too far in the masculine. That, you know, if you're attracting men who are too overly feminine, it's because you're overly masculine. You haven't discovered a capacity for authentic vulnerability or for transparency. You're sourcing your value by what you have to do and give as opposed to who you are. And I went through so many of the shifts, Ariel, that he spoke about in that series. And I know that's what created a space to meet someone, to meet a partner who was so many different dimensions that I'd never experienced before. And, you know, the takeaway I would say from this is, you know, exactly that being in any form of control, like what you just shared, seduction is a form of being in the masculine, control, making it happen, as opposed to being receptive, being open, really valuing yourself for who you are. My power statement was my very existence is more than enough to fulfill my beloved beyond his wildest dreams. There was nothing that I needed to do or be other than who I was to be worthy of love. And from that place, I discovered it's a myth. You know, it's not true that men are not attracted to powerful women. What the deeper truth is that men are not attracted to powerful women who are self-absorbed, who deprioritize relationship, who are covertly competitive with them, who are, really unpleasable, who don't let them win, right? So it's all of these other things that we've behaviors that we're doing as powerful women that are repelling love, as opposed to that we're power, heart-centered, mission-oriented women. So when we learn how to let all of that go, there's a whole new possibility, and suddenly you find men who are intelligent, of high integrity, who are really on purpose, who don't necessarily do yoga or meditate, but really are conscious men who can meet you in all of those ways and are really interested in growing and learning with you, like in Liana's story.
And, God, John Gray, I could go on forever. How amazing he is. But we don't have that much time. So I want to tell you our success story for this day is on JJ Virgin. And at 52, this world-famous, best-selling nutrition and fitness author found real love for the first time on Match.com. And she did it by being super bold and saying up front in her profile exactly what she was seeking, and she got it. And this is precisely what the first line of her profile was. She said, I'm a four-time New York Times best-selling author committed to a happy, healthy lifestyle, and you are somebody who wants that lifestyle as well, and I have must-haves and I have deal-breakers. And she was completely unapologetic for what she wanted and needed. Well, this guy reached out to her, and, you know, JJ was super busy, so it took her 6 weeks until she could schedule the first date. But she later found out that this guy, Tim, knew before the first date that she was the one, and he took his profile down. I got an email from JJ. She was in Puerto Vallarta. Tim had just proposed. They're now engaged. They're getting married in July.
I just love her story because she is our poster woman of powerful, smart, successful, conscious woman. And she met her to-be husband online. So again, that busts up the myth there's no interesting conscious men out there online especially. And she totally was who she was. And I know JJ, and I know that she has gone through many of the other shifts we've talked about in the series, so that how she was holding that, again, was not dimming down being herself, showing up as herself without controlling how she was being perceived. Right? Hands off.
Yeah,
I'm going to be myself.
She's a tall, beautiful Amazonian powerhouse.
She is. So, yeah. So powerful. Keep scrolling down the page.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk about Dr. Amir Levine.
Okay, so all right.
That's the most mind-blowing test for me.
Okay, day three, keynote four, the skills to create lasting bonds. Is this seminar even rocked my world 10 years into my marriage because it made my dating history make sense, finally. But Arielle, please take us away.
Oh, okay. So for those of you who haven't yet met the amazing Dr. Amir Levine, he's a psychiatrist and a professor at Columbia University, and he explained to us the new science of attachment theory in adult romantic love. And, oh, my God, if I'd only had this 20 years ago, I would not have suffered the kind of pain and heartache I did. Because for all of you out there that have had a guy disappear on you and you were left thinking, what did I do wrong? What could have I done better or differently? It's not your fault. It turns out that 25% of the population has this thing he's named avoidant attachment style. So this is where they show up all super attentive and seeming too good to be true, And then once you're like fallen for them, you discover that they're super uncomfortable with too much closeness and intimacy, and then they find ways to keep their partner at arm's length. Because the avoidance, well, you got to just get their mindset. Their mindset is that they don't want to be responsible for anybody else's well-being. And their basic belief is that everybody has to be 100% self-sufficient and take care of their own needs. And if you have needs, or they think they have to take care of you, they get really scared. Okay, so that's the avoidant type. But there's actually three total styles. So there's a style called anxious attachment style. And these are the people who love to be intimate and close, but they're very sensitive when a relationship might be threatened. And they're constantly in this state of like pain and high drama because guess what? Anxious styles are always drawn to avoidance styles. Like, how's that
it's
for a
It's kind of like the kind of cruelness of Mother Nature somehow.
Right,
right.
Now, here's the good news. 52% of us are what he calls the secure type, which means we love to be close, we're loving and warm, we're not that sensitive to the threat of a relationship, we don't always assume, you know, the sky is falling or terrible things are about to happen, and if we have a fight, we know it's not the end of the world. So that's a secure attachment style, and Dr. Levine calls these super soulmates. And after learning this, what I realized is that I started out as an anxious type, but I married a secure type, which made me a secure type. And
right.
So he calls these
Yeah, so the great thing is, in understanding this, you know, there are things that you can do and understand if you're with someone who has an avoidance style, if you're with someone who has an attachment style, or if you are those styles, what you can do to make sense of what your experience is so you're not beating yourself up trying to worry, you know, wonder and worry about what you did wrong. And even more importantly, being able to know how to spot a secure type, especially if you are an anxious type or you are also a secure type, like that's really the person that you're going to experience the most happiness with. So being able
right.
to...
Absolutely.
Yeah, being able to discover.
You want to ditch the avoid types as quickly as possible because they can't change. Now, you can learn to adapt to live with them, but it takes a lot more
and
work.
Lower your expectations radically.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because they're not going to change. You can adapt, but they can't change. The other thing that he shared with, and, there, you know, we just don't have enough time for me to give you all the highlights, but the other thing I loved that he talked about was this ancient force of pair bonding, what he calls nature's trick, that biologically when we are attracted to somebody, we begin to trust them. And even though there could be a lot of red flags that tell you not to trust them, the attraction is so strong, it's what he calls a trusting veil, that we start to believe things like, oh, it's going to be fine, everything's going to work out, and biology tricks us into letting someone in. So he said the key thing that you have to keep asking yourself is this person consistently available? Can they see me and my needs, and can they properly respond? And if the answer is no, run for the hills.
Yep. And it's not your fault. You're not causing them to not show up for you. They're not showing up for anyone like this. It's a very normal thing for someone who has a healthy, secure attachment capacity to be, you know, organically interested in your needs, your feelings, your desires. As you notice yourself, it's very natural for you to be interested in the needs, feelings, desires of others as they share them. That's just being a healthy adult person who cares.
Mm.
So I love that.
And then, yeah. We also had Neil Donald Walsh talking about overcoming guilt and regret, how to open your heart to love again and experience lasting bliss in your next relationship. And I just loved how Neil defined a soulmate. He said, to me, this is a person who's being enveloped or embraced or encased in the same soul essence that my body is encased in. They are literally soulmates or soul partners. They are physicalizations or manifestations in physical form of people we've met before, that we've interacted with before, that we've danced with before. And when we got into discussing failed relationships, he says that he thinks of failed relationships as stepping stones on the way to the largest expression of that experience in life we call relationship. So he doesn't believe failure exists in any relationship, because he says our past failures, our failures simply throw open the door of understanding and experience. And then he shared this cute little story about someone once said to a person who'd been married multiple times, "Why would you marry that person? He's been married 4 or 5 times. He's got to be a 4-time loser." And the woman said to him, no, he's a 4-time learner. How cute is that?
The takeaway from Neil is, no matter how many relationships you've had or how many times you've had disappointments, it's possible for you at any age, at any stage, regardless of your history or your circumstances, to find and create true love. And to really know, I mean, like, that is really true. And I know that for each and every one of us here, like I know the sun will rise tomorrow. That is a deep truth about life. There is no external reason why you can't have extraordinary love in your life.
And Neil's been married 7 times, and we both know his love and soulmate and wife now, and they're just absolutely perfect together. So it took him into his 60s to make it work, but the 7 times a winner.
do not give up. You know, if it
Never
was possible for Neil, it's possible for you too. Now, one of the most important sessions was next that we must share with you, because you absolutely must take away what our experts shared, Carol Allen, Melanie Evans, and David Kessler in the Is He Worthy of Your Love panel, What to Look For in a Life Partner, Arielle.
Yes, and what they said is, it's really critical to determine if somebody has a healthy capacity for love. So if they're telling you they don't talk to their parents or every ex they had is no good, you really, really have to pay attention, because they're showing their patterns. So you want to look for things like, how do they handle stress? How do they handle if you say no to them for any reason? Like, no, I'm busy, I have other plans, can I see you another time? Do they have a right-size reaction to that, or do they act out or fall apart? How do they handle if you disagree on something? And Carol Allen was saying, you know, are they good with their time? Can they contain themselves, or are they always yelling at other drivers or mad at somebody? And how do they treat service people? Can they even keep a plant alive? So they go into what to look for the red flags, and also what to look for that other positives. And then I think the thing I got the biggest learning from was what Melanie shared about this thing called love bombing. I'd never heard of love bombing. And she said that's when somebody comes at you like 100 miles an hour, they're sweeping you off your feet, and you need to know how to slow them down, because with love bombers, you're thinking, oh my God, this person so gets me, they validate me, they approve of me, they're telling me everything I want to hear, this is going really well. And no, it could be that they're a narcissist, that they're just love bombing you. So the signs that somebody is a narcissist, besides starting off with love bombing, is that quite often they're pathological liars. And they can be loving and adoring 1 minute, and then in just a second, they're attacking you and they're threatening to break up with you out of the blue. They have no ability to be vulnerable or discuss problems rationally. They harbor stuff from the past. And even if you think you've resolved something, they'll bring it up again and again. They're incapable of being remorseful or accountable. So those are just some of the very, very basics of what they covered. It was really a fascinating session. And then we also had David Kessler with us, who's a grief expert, who really went into detail of how to heal from a relationship when you've gotten out of with one of these folks, what you need to do. And I know we don't have a ton of time, so I'm not going to go into that right now, but there is a way out. There is healing to be had.
Well, and how important it is, how important it is to do that, right? So it's like I really just want to have a sober moment and say, you know, it's so important that you're educated, that you're aware of what to look for and, you know, some of the things you just shared, and that you're able to heal from the impacts, because so many of your disappointments in past relationships or places that you've been wounded, it's, you know, probably been from being with people who have some kind of issue like this, or they have an avoidant attachment style like Dr. Levine was sharing. So being able to understand that these things weren't your fault and being able to heal your heart and being able to develop the capacity for discernment is going to set you up to have an entirely different experience moving forward.
Mm. Absolutely. And Sark, Susan Ariel Rainbow Kennedy, the best-selling author, Sark, was our success story. And she was so funny because she shared that most of her relationship history was long-distance, wild, and adventurous. And she had many, many lovers, and she never lived with anybody and never had what she considered a soulmate. And she admitted to being super overachiever, controlling, and a perfectionist. So 20 years ago, rather than go out and find a soulmate, she threw herself a wedding and she married herself in the Bahamas. And she walked into the ocean and there were dolphins there. And she made herself a ring with pearls. And she had this little ceremony that was just Susan and the dolphins and the turquoise water. And she vowed to herself to never leave herself and to love herself forever. But then, when she was 28, she went on a cruise to Alaska, and she met this man, and he told her, because he knew instantly she was the one, by the end of the day, he said the most amazing thing to her. He said, "I want you to know I'm qualified to adore you." And then a few weeks later, he said, "I'm coming to live with you, and I'm bringing you three things. First, I promise to see you as perfect. I promise to see you as perfect in any way that you're not is my responsibility. Second," he said, "I'm offering you a no-compromise relationship because I'm very bad at compromise." And she said, "Well, what do we do instead?" He said, "We're going to create joyful solutions, and they're going to be better than anything that we could have done and thought up on our own. And thirdly, I promise to see you as self-lovingly separate with beautiful boundaries." How gorgeous is that? So at 58, now, here she is, madly in love.
Well, she's one of my favorite success stories. I mean, they're all incredible, but hearing her own story of opening up, and they just had the most incredible connection, seeing them together, is amazing. It's going to open and heal your heart listening to her story. So if you keep scrolling down the page, I know a lot of people have continued to join in, so I want to welcome you if you've just joined us. We are sharing our highlights and takeaways, and I want to invite you to follow on with us by either scrolling down the event page. If you just refresh your browser, you'll be able to just scroll right down on the event page, or you can click on the link that says visit the course page, our Soulmate Series course page, and scroll down the page to where you get to day 4. And there's Rory Ray and my session on the Feminine Power Love Keys for Smart, Creative, Gifted Women to Attract Their Life Partner. So I hosted this event live. It was the exact moment that I had my first walk with my soulmate, Craig, 10 years ago. It was such a powerful live energy at the event. And in this event, I shared the essence of everything I've discovered about a feminine power approach to creating a soulmate relationship. And I don't think I've ever been able to articulate the process so clearly. And one of the key things I talked about in that session was the ways in which our core beliefs about who we are in love and what is or isn't possible, how that manifests as ways that we show up that have been covertly pushing love away without even realizing it. And particularly if you're a strong, smart, successful woman who cares, who is conscious, who's mission-oriented, it can be very hard. You know, I didn't feel like it was possible that anyone was out there. When I looked more deeply, I actually saw that I didn't value myself for who I was. I really saw that I was pushing men away because I had a belief that men didn't want someone like me and that I had to be someone other than who I was to be worthy of love. So I shared a process that you can work with in an ongoing way to connect with and get into a power center around love, the sense of the deeper truth about who you are and what's possible in the area of love. And one power statement I'll give you to work with, and this is so important if you're a strong, smart, successful woman: my very existence is more than enough to love and fulfill my beloved beyond his wildest dreams. There is nothing I need to do, no one I need to be, nothing I need to accomplish that will have me be any more worthy of being loved than I am in this moment. And there is nothing I will ever do in the course of my life that will make me any more worthy of being loved than I am in this moment. And I think one of the key takeaways is that, you know, I always thought I was too much of this or not enough of that, and I realized I was just right for who I was meant to be with, as you're just right for who you're meant to be with, and that you know, like JJ, she was just unabashedly herself without apology. You can fully be yourself, and you can, instead of, you know, being focused on, you know, who you need to be attractive to men, to really focus on what it is that would really, you know, you're needing and what you want to create and what your vision is, and then to show up in a new way when you're out connecting with people where you're presencing yourself and you're telling the truth about what you feel, see, hear, desire without controlling anyone's response, knowing that you don't have to control the process of having love come to you, that by you connecting with your desires and you being yourself, that's enough to generate the possibility of love in your life. So,
and you did such a great job for really being the poster child for smart, successful woman. You know, that was just, you know, the way you gave that information, we could all completely relate to it. It's like, oh, my God, she walked through the fire and she got out and she made it happen and this is how to do it. And then our second keynote that day really was a great follow-up to yours with Rory Ray on Unleash Your Inner Siren, because she just, you know, there were so many good takeaways, but the thing that I really got from her was she talked about how when we're in business, when we're in our careers, you know, we're leaning in, like Sheryl Sandberg's big book, Lean In, and we want to be that way in work. But in love, Rory said, and when we want to be in our feminine energy, we have to learn how to lean back, learn how to receive, because then it's all about allowing and receiving. And I just love that.
Well, and that's a shift, because the fear is if I don't control it and I don't try to make it happen, it's not going to happen. But you can't manifest and create love from that consciousness. It's
no,
just not possible.
Definitely can't. And then on day five, I did my session, and I think I've shared with you guys before, you know, this is exactly what I did to manifest my soulmate 19 years ago. So I shared with you all the secrets there, and I'm not going to go into them now, but it doesn't hurt to hear them again because it's slippery stuff. And then
one key takeaway I want to share from your talk is that I just love this whole thing about just, you know, in terms of being a powerful manifester, embrace and say daily, I am a powerful manifester of love. That's really all you need to do. To be in a field, I'm a powerful manifester of love. And I'm going to live as if this is already happening and already in process, which it is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then our success story was with Shanda Sumter, who's big seven-figure a year entrepreneur. And what I really loved about her story was that at 38, she realized that in order to be successful in love, she needed mentorship. And she went out and got it from multiple people. And then she started dating online, and she actually met her guy on Tinder. They're now married. They have a beautiful baby boy. They had two dates on the first day that they met. They had breakfast, and then they had dinner. And at dinner, she shared with him all her non-negotiable items, and I'm going to just make these really quick. One was he had to believe in God. He needed to have unbreakable, unshakable integrity. He had to be somebody who was really strong in his belief about family, and he had to be willing to get married and have children now, not someday, but now. And finally, he had to be a triathlete because she's a triathlete, and that's exactly what she got in 90 days from setting her intention.
Wow, that's amazing. That's powerful. So I think clarity, this is reinforcing the first key. Clarity about what it is you desire is so important and so essential. So let's talk about Deepak, day six.
Yes. Yeah, so Deepak
activating
really talked-
synchro destiny to attract soul love.
Yes, and he said that falling in love is an act of the soul. It's two souls resonating at the same time, at the same deep level, with a desire to be with each other. And he said the proper mindset to bring in a true partner is to stop looking for the right person and become the right person. And then he was very, very strong about how important meditation is to the key to your success, that meditation, not only is it a way to progressively silence the chatter in your mind, but it's a way to get to your soul. So it's not just a stress management technique. It's technically the space between your thoughts where memory and desire can sort of grow. So he really emphasized meditation. He also talked about that it's a way to manifest synchronicity and meaningful coincidences, because through meditating, you align yourself with the forces and the elements of the universe, and then the universe shares your intentions. And then he took us through this really gorgeous guided process of the Heart Sutras. And the Heart Sutras are about peace and harmony and love and laughter. So that was with Deepak. And then day seven, I had Bella Gandhi, who is just the coolest woman. They call her the fairy godmother of dating. And she shared the exact formula for writing a winning profile, exactly how many words and how to do it, and how to get the right type and the right amount of photos.
And this is our final key. You need to know how to make connections, how to present yourself, and how to sort. So what was your favorite takeaway from her session?
You know, I really liked the thing that she stated, that how important the photos are. That
90%
of the results that you'll get from men are based on your photos. So she got very specific. You don't want photos with anybody else in them. Specifically, no photos with kids. If you have to have one with a pet, only one of those. They have to be friendly. You should be wearing bright colors, even if you only wear white, beige, and brown. In your photos, you need to be wearing colorful clothes. She talked about necklines. She talked about no bathing suit shots, nothing too sexy because you send the wrong message. So she got really granular and totally, totally detailed about it. And the stat that she gave that was sort of most impressive is that now 1 in 3 marriages starts online. So for those of you who are still resisting, she says it's the world's greatest cocktail party, and you've got to be a psychotic optimist and join the party.
Well, and this speaks to Liz Dorn's success story, who's the brilliant founder of the Celebrate Your Life conferences, and she made a commitment. And when she embraced online dating, she went on 70 coffee dates, and she developed a system for screening men and having 20-minute coffee dates. And, you know, I think one of the big takeaways is that, you know, when you get out there and you're in the process of meeting people, it might not feel good, and you might meet a lot of the wrong people, but it's going to be worth it when at the end of that six-month, nine-month period, you end up with a husband who loves you, who adores you when you just meet them, and you're like, gosh, that was so worth it.
And Jeff, her husband is so, so perfect for her. He's a holistic chiropractor and nutritionist who's a meditator, which is just like if you know Liz. He couldn't be more perfect. Plus, he's tall, dark, and handsome on top of it on Match.com, and she was 50 on their wedding day. So,
well,
I need to say
and
that, Liz.
JJ on Match.com. You know, like all of these, you know, this is the, so the takeaway is it's a myth that you can't meet your soulmate online. You know, there's so many extraordinary men out there, and the other takeaway is it probably won't necessarily, like, you know, you won't necessarily meet them the first time out, but that doesn't mean that you are off track, and you want to just have a positive attitude and really embrace this like you're going to and participating in the world's largest cocktail party, and keep moving quickly with your drink, right?
Yeah.
20 minutes, and then it's like,
party.
Oh, I'm going to go to the bar and get another drink now. So nice to meet you. Bye-bye. So having those skills is absolutely essential to being able to make the right connections, not overinvest in the wrong people, and keep moving. So Allison Armstrong on day 8 shared some powerful tips on how to become magnetic to the right partner. Ariel,
Yes. Well, Allison's been studying men in relationships for 30 years, and I actually, of everybody we know, I think she has the deepest wisdom on this. And the one most mind-blowing thing that she shared on how conscious women get it wrong and don't understand men is that one of the things that we do is we prove to a man that he can't afford us. And she said, I use those words on purpose because those are words that men use. So a woman will do something, and then he'll think, I can't afford her, or I'm not good enough for her. And those two things have him decide that you're not the right person for him. And he doesn't talk to you about this. He doesn't have a conversation with you. He just leaves. So throughout this session, she went in extreme detail about what to say and what not to say so you won't make this mistake. So
this is the takeaway. Men are wired to make us happy. A man, when he's meeting you, is assessing, can I make her happy? Can I win here? And if he decides he can't, he will leave without even having a conversation about it with you. Right? So it's not that you want to give praise when it's not warranted or be pleased, but you can't be impossible to please. You need to really have a spirit of appreciation and acknowledgement and know that you're not going to lose your power in the relationship, you know, by giving praise in this way.
Yeah, nothing in what she said means you have to change. It's just becoming conscious of how you language things, because
right,
he'll hear them in ways different from what you meant them, and then he'll decide what it is he thinks you need. And most likely, you don't need these things from him, but you know you're going to have to hear it from her. So the last recap I want to do for you right now is with our amazing Mama Jean Houston, and she really talked about getting in touch with the great archetype of love, the beloved, and how to deepen the relationship with the beloved. And she said it's quite easy. It's like following the same principles that you would pursue in every kind of human relationship. So she's suggesting that you create a sacred place in your home where every day you go to meet with the beloved, where you have the sense of the beloved's presence. And she said, just like you might carry pictures of your family or your pets when you travel, you carry a token or an image that reminds you of the beloved. And throughout each day, you sort of join in what we talked about, talk to your beloved. And then she said, once a week, set aside a special time for a deep meditation on the meaning of this connection and feel yourself as the archetype of you and the beloved joined, because that will increase your capacity to sense them and to sense their loving presence everywhere. And then she also took us through a really powerful guided presence to manifest the beloved.
So powerful, that session with Jane. And I think it really comes back to where we started, which is that you can begin your relationship with your soulmate right now. You can begin your relationship with your soulmate today. So we're going to do that again in our closing meditation today. So that's the program that we created. There are highlights and takeaways. And we know if you haven't chosen one of our upgrade options yet that you are going to want to own your own copy of this series. And we're really excited to be able to offer it to you for a deep discount for a very short period after the series ends. So the gold options are available for a very limited time. But I want to encourage you to scroll down the page. And you'll see in our gold option, you'll gain access to all of these keynotes and success stories and panels. These are the world's leading experts on topics around our five keys designed especially for smart, successful, conscious women. Women are saying that there's never been a program like this ever in history created, and what it's given them access to has been absolutely life-altering. They're the missing pieces that are needed to be able to release inner barriers, to activate feminine power, to master manifesting, to ignite self-love, to become magnetic without dimming down our power. And we want to encourage you to make this a priority in your life and make this investment in owning the series, because what you put your attention on and keep your attention on expands. Listening to the women, our inspiring success stories, and how they applied the keys in the series to have the transformations to create their own soulmate relationships is going to help you stay the course. And if you keep scrolling down the page, you'll see an amazing set of bonuses that we have created for you with Gold Edition. You can access another series, another round of seminars with Marianne Williamson on sacred romance, with David Kessler. John and Allison have a wonderful session on being able to really understand men at a deeper level. And Jonathan Astley has a fantastic series of seminars on understanding men.
So, now's the time we've been waiting for, our special session with Jeanine Roth. And Jeanine, just so you know a little bit about her, if you don't already, she is the number one New York Times best-selling author of Women, Food, and God. You've probably seen her on Oprah, Super Soul Sunday, The Today Show, Good Morning America, tons of other national shows. And Jeanine is absolutely committed to and has made it her life's mission to help women deal with deeply personal and spiritual issues that go, you know, way beyond food and weight and body image. Jeanine believes that we eat the way we live and that our relationship to food, money, and love is an exact reflection of our deepest held beliefs about ourselves and about the amount of joy, abundance, pain, and scarcity we believe we have or are allowed to have in our lives. So she's going to join us right now, and we're going to be talking about what it took for her to give up her struggle, not just with food, but to really be able to open up and receive love.
So welcome, Jeanine. We're so happy to have you with us.
Thank you.
I'm thrilled to be here. I'm thrilled to be with the two of you.
Thanks, Janine. So you have been married for over 30 years to such an extraordinary, loving, powerful, fun-loving, probably the most playful person I've ever met, extraordinary husband. Can you maybe just tell us where it all got started? How did you meet Matt, and how did you know that he was the one?
Yes. Well, I met him at a conference that we were both speaking at, the Association for Humanistic Psychology. And I met him in particular because of my best friend and I were looking through the catalog of speakers at that conference, before the conference, and she said, meet him, pick him, he's the one. And I said, that's silly. How do you even know if he's married or with someone? It's just a headshot, I don't know. And she said, no, just at least try to meet him. So I forgot all about that till I went out on another date with somebody else, and he said to me in the middle of dinner, well, I'm going back to the conference, and I'm going to go hear Matt Weinstein. And then I remembered that my friend had told me to meet him, and because we were 30 miles away and he had the car, I schlepped back with him and I went to Matt's talk. And that's where I saw him for the first time. And I saw him the next day walking in the at the campus, and I introduced myself to him, and he sort of ignored me. He has his own version of why he ignored me. And then I thought, no, I'm really going to make an effort with this man. So the next day, the conference was over, almost over. There were 1,000 people listening to Virginia Satir, and I tripped over everybody's arms and legs in the middle of her talk, and I walked back to the back of the room because I saw that Matt was leaving, and I introduced myself to him again. And this time he noticed me. This time we connected, and he said he would call me, and he actually did. It was amazing. So that's how it happened. And how I knew he was the one, that's the second part of that question. How I knew he was the one was because that first date that we went on, he drove from Berkeley to Santa Cruz. That was already a lot in his favor because I was what was known as GU, geographically undesirable. And he was willing to make the hour and a half or 2 hour trip. And when we went out on our first date, we were walking on the beach, we were talking, and I looked at him and I just absolutely knew he was the man I was going to spend the rest of my life with. I knew. And I'm not somebody who knows things that quickly like that. And I just knew. I knew it in my whole body. This is the one.
I love that story. And Claire met Craig at a conference, too. You guys have that in common.
I know. Yes.
Well, you have, I mean, what just strikes me about the two of you and just really getting to know both of you together is just how deep and how strong and how connected your relationship is. You know, Matt absolutely adores you, lights up into a room when you walk in, is your greatest fan and supporter. And I think, you know, here, this is something that so many of us as strong, creative, powerful women want to create in our lives. And I know that having this kind of relationship with someone who is attracted to your power, who's supporting your creativity, standing for you and all you can become in your life, I know that that wasn't necessarily what you had experienced previously. So
yes,
and that's where many of us are or were or trying to break through. So I'd love to just invite you to share, like, you know, well, this wasn't always your pattern. What were your relationship struggles prior to Matt? And, like,
Claire,
you know, what shifted?
You said that so eloquently, Claire, and so nicely, given what you know of my patterns before I met Matt, which were almost exclusively, except for my college, my first and second college boyfriends, I would say. After that, every man that I was with was either unavailable because they were in a relationship with somebody else or just leaving that relationship with someone else, or they lived across the country or across the world, or, and this
might have been the most painful, but I'm not sure. Those are all equally unavailable. They weren't attracted to me. And there was no way that they were ever going to love me and be with me, because they just flat out, for them, the chemistry wasn't there. But somehow my pattern was, if the person was unavailable in any of those three ways, or I'm sure there were a multitude of other ways that I'm not even mentioning, that somehow captured my interest and made me interested in them. And then it became my creative pursuit to convince them to love me, which in turn would allow me to convince myself that I was lovable. And to say that that pattern was painful and heartbreaking is just an underestimation of what it felt like person after person after person after person to do that.
So what was the breakthrough? How did that shift? Because that was my pattern, too. I had the same experience. Ariel, I know you had your own version of this.
I'm almost convinced most women in the world have some version of this at some point in their life.
So how did you break through? What was the shift?
Well, there were a couple of things. I actually don't think it's any one particular thing. One thing that had happened a couple of years before I met Matt, 5 or 6 years before I met Matt, was that I had decided that I wanted to write, and I really wanted to devote myself to my work. And my work at that time, and it still is writing, which I love, and also working with the challenges and the suffering around food and working with women who have those challenges, beginning with myself. So I was highly challenged in the food arena and in the relationship arena. And with food, I had started by trusting myself and by deciding that I was my own best authority or source of power, and that I was going to stop listening to other people and stop dieting because it was making me feel crazy and out of control. And that happened before I met Matt. And just the act of turning towards myself, validating myself, valuing myself around what had been until then the biggest struggle of my entire life, 17 years of hating myself, depriving myself, shaming myself, blaming myself, gaining and losing over 1,000 pounds in that time. I stopped that. And that's a much longer story, but that stopping of that was major to the turn towards within, and I would say of myself, believing in my own credibility, my own worthiness, my own lovability. And the second part of the work part, which preceded Matt, was that in order for me to write, I realized that I was going to have to stop using up all my creative energy, and that's really what it was, in trying to convince people to love me who didn't love me, and that I had been using my weight. At that point, I was 60 pounds overweight, and I realized I'd been using my weight and eating and food to make me feel so unattractive and unsexy that I would no longer be willing to throw myself at the feet of men who didn't want me. And I realized that I could do that myself. I could say no myself to these unavailable people and stop going after them, because I wanted my energy for myself. I wanted to write. And it was a scary thing to do. I didn't know if I would ever get anything published. But I wanted to do it anyway. And in order to do that, I had to stop using food and my weight to do that, because it was taking up so much of my energy. And also, I had to decide that I could say no to unavailable people, men, without using my weight to do it. So I had to take my power back.
Wow. That's deep. So I just want to kind of recap and stay with that. So there was finally, you know, in kind of maybe, I think this often happens to us where we hit bottom, or it's like, you know, the pattern happens again, or it's another person. And in that breakdown, there was a decision point in kind of looking to begin to deeply value yourself and really believe in yourself and believe in your dreams, your purpose, your higher contribution that you are here for, and
yes,
start committing to yourself, right?
Yes.
Like actually really committing to yourself, committing to your potential, valuing yourself, shifting how you were speaking to yourself, how you were listening to yourself.
That's
how
right.
You're being with yourself, right? So,
right.
So, and you know, and also then, like, really taking risks and having courage to move in the direction of your highest purpose and destiny. And so, you know, how extraordinary is it, or not so extraordinary? Isn't it kind of like the physics of how life works, that is then reflected back to you in this man who's so present and standing with you and being a champion for your possibilities and fully there.
Yes. Yes. I think before, Matt, men, if I ever let them get close enough, were somewhat threatened by me. Or, you know, it was hard to actually let them get close enough to even be threatened by me, because I was busy trying to convince them to love me. But I think deep in my heart, I believed that who I was too much, too intense, too overwhelming, too smart, too powerful, that nobody was going to love me in my full selfness, in when I stood in my own shoes. It wasn't going to be possible for somebody to see that and love that. And so I engaged in a whole lot of different kinds of behaviors that I've just talked about.
Well, but you did that for you, right?
I did that for me.
You did that for you in such a huge way.
Yeah.
And I know that that's the foundation of all the other work, but I just think it's interesting that that's such a part of what opened up and made that possible.
Yes.
Really powerful and inspiring.
I think I would have ignored Matt otherwise. If I was only interested, Matt and I went to the same movie theaters as kids. We grew up in the same neighborhood, sort of, not exactly. But I think if I had met him when I was thinking I wasn't lovable, when I was thinking there was something wrong with me, when I was thinking there was something damaged, inherently damaged with my DNA, then, and I needed a man who didn't love me to prove, you know, to prove to me that he loved me. That was such a distorted little thing I did. I think I would have ignored men who really, men like Matt.
Wow. Well, that's what I see over and over again. There are extraordinary men out there in the world. When we shift and let go of these patterns, we become available and have Matt and Craig and Brian.
Hey, Janine, tell
yes.
us a little bit about what being married to Matt has meant for your life and how other areas of your life have been supported by your relationship with him.
You know, when Matt met me, within the first couple of weeks, maybe months, maybe days, I can't remember, he said to me, I'm going to love you like no one has ever loved you in your entire life. And he has. That's exactly what he's done.
I just got goosebumps. Who wouldn't want to hear that?
No, seriously. Who wouldn't? And, I think to that little part of me that, you know, was cynical and or felt damaged, I thought, yeah, right. Just try it, Buster. You know, I'm not such an easy person to love. You know, I could have come up with all my tough girl answers, and I didn't, because I really let Matt in. It was extraordinary to be with a man who actually wanted me. Even yesterday, we were at a party, and when Matt and I are at gatherings together, the man I used to be with, it would walk in, and that was it. They were just sort of all about themselves. Matt keeps checking in with me. This is after 31 years of being with him, we're still like that. So what has it meant to me to be so loved? and to feel so secure, really, in our love. Wow, it's even hard to describe because it's become such a fabric of my life right now. He is the first person I want to talk to when anything fabulous happens and when anything horrible happens. He's my best friend. He is the one who's, I feel like I can sort of dive into Matt's heart and just rest in there with him. And for my overactive and sometimes hypervigilant nervous system to be with somebody who is utterly different than me, relaxed, he has a lightness about him that I just don't have. I've become much lighter being with him. That's one thing. I've become much funnier being with him because in the his love and the reflection of his love, I can look at myself in ways that I've never been able to look at myself and not take myself so seriously. So the amount of laughter that is in our relationship is extraordinary, and the amount of laughter, not at myself, but I can hear often when I just begin to say things the way Matt would see it or say it to me, and then I start laughing even before it's out of my mouth. Also, on the work level, that's been amazing. I was just talking to him about this morning. I don't think he's ever been to a talk I've given or a workshop I've given. He doesn't come to every workshop, but when he's there, even if it's for half an hour, I can see him in the back of the room. First of all, he walks in the room, and my whole being lights up. There's Matt. I see his face, and I light up. And whenever he hears me talk or work, he starts crying a little bit. He starts tearing up. And even if I'm reading something from a book that I wrote a long time ago, but it's a piece that he loves, he just starts tearing up. He gets moved every single time. And to see that, to feel so deeply supported, as powerful as I could ever feel, as expansive and huge as I could ever feel, Matt would have room for that. Matt wants that and more for me. As big as I could ever be, he wants that. And all my successes, and I don't mean to make them sound huge and magnanimous, but the amount of success on the work plane that I've had has been wonderful. And there have been times when people in my life have been envious of it, but Matt, not for one second did I ever feel one drop of envy or competition from him, even though he's a speaker too and a writer. But it's just be the best you can, sweetheart, and I'm here for every drop of it. And that allows me to just keep going for it.
And it's so fun to be with the two of you and witness that, because you guys are so deeply connected and supportive and fun together, really fun together, you know. And he's just, I've seen him just like when you get just a tiny bit frazzled, and he's like, no, we're going to figure this out. It's going to be great. And he just totally gets you. So I've got one last question for you.
Yes.
What wisdom or advice can you offer our women listeners who are wanting to meet their soulmate?
So before I met Matt, I forgot to say this before, but before I met him, these were the days where you actually put personal ads in the paper. I constructed an ad with a good friend of mine for, I can't even remember what it said, but I got very, very specific about what I really wanted in someone. What were the qualities I couldn't live without, and what, I mean, in my mind, of course, I didn't put that in the ad, what could I live without? I really got clear about that. And I feel like that was pretty important to me. Even though I didn't meet Matt from that ad, in fact, I met somebody who one man, his name was Harvey, he bit a burglar's ear off. I'll just never forget this as long as I live. The characters that I met from this ad, I mean, it was astonishing. But I think the clarity of what I wanted and what I really knew would meet me and would allow me to feel loved was very helpful. That's number one. And I think the second thing I would say is that when I did whatever I needed to do to turn towards myself and realize that I really was worth that, and that required, as I said, my working with my beginning to, not finishing, but beginning to work with my own issues with food and the way that I kept giving my power away, and also turning towards writing. By the time I'd met Matt, I did have two books published, but it wouldn't have mattered if I was writing, you know, and didn't have anything published because I was doing what I loved. So I think that the more love that you have, the more love you have. And the more you turn towards what you love, first of all, that you are your, can be someone you love, and also do what you love, then that generates a kind of energy, a transmission, like your little radio that's going around transmitting radio waves, and that attracts people of like energy,
It's really about love. raising your love vibration and your love frequency, which clearly that's what you were so successful at. So I love that, you know, having clarity, which Claire and I always say is so critical, and then really, you know, understanding you're not perfect, you're on a journey, but you're willing to begin to embrace and change and move into your power and do what you love. That's awesome advice. Awesome. Yep. Thank you. Well, I want to just, Claire, on behalf of Claire and I, we're so, so grateful that you were able to join us for this tonight. Thank you so much.
Oh, I've loved it. I love the two of you. And I love what you're doing. And I want to broadcast this to all women. So hopefully we're getting to a big population by doing this.
Yeah, we are. All right. Thanks, Janine. We love you. We love you so much.
Yes, lots of love. Bye.
Wow, Janine Roth. How much do we love Janine Roth? She's just so open and clear and transparent and vulnerable and willing to share herself and really own that the way she was able to finally receive love and let love in was by, you know, going deep with herself and healing her core wounds, her core issues, and having clarity and, you know, knowing that she was giving her power away and then deciding to, you know, commit her life to doing what she loves. And, you know, at the end of the day, she just proves that it's just not about perfection. It's just about being willing to work on ourselves and being willing to know that we're lovable, you know, warts and all.
Right? So in applying these keys, it's not perfection. It's making an effort in the direction of living these things that we're talking about that really opens up that possibility. So Arielle, the three biggest mistakes conscious, smart, successful women can make at the end of a program like this that can sabotage their chance for love. We have coached and mentored tens of thousands of women through this process. We've been through it ourselves. And, you know, we've given you everything that we can in the time that we have. And if you apply the tools, the keys, the practices, the wisdom that's in this series, love isn't just possible for you, it's inevitable. You will meet your partner. You will create lifelong love. All of the tools, the practices, they're here in the series. This program also includes Q&As. There's recordings throughout the entire thing where we go into this in much more depth in how to apply it. But the three biggest mistakes that we want to make sure you don't make are this. The first is, the first biggest mistake we see women make is that they come to an event or they do a program and they think they've done the work. And so they'll just, I've set my intention, I have my vision, and so I'll just wait for it to happen, right? So setting an intention and then just waiting for it to happen. You know, I love what you share, Ariel. It's like, you know, if you wanted to find a new job, you wouldn't just say it's meant to be, and then your job will find me, right? And I'm on the couch waiting. So you are doing it, you know, if you have a sense of you're waiting or he's not here yet or I've set my intention, like that's definitely, you know, we're going to share with you what to do instead, but that's the number one mistake I see women make on the other side is like to think I'm done and I've set my intention and now I'm just going to wait for the universe to bring me. So it's actually a step away from control out of the masculine, right? So in the masculine, we're trying to control and make it happen. And so we know that we can't do that to succeed in love. So we think we confuse like being in our kind of feminine power and magnetism to being passive. And like that's what the mistake is, kind of moving into passivity and waiting as opposed to actively cultivating and creating, which we were going to share in a minute. Anything else on this mistake? I've seen it, and it's the women who don't succeed after we've given them the tools. This is the biggest one.
No, it's like me wanting to lose weight. You know, I set the intention, but I never do anything about it, so it never happens. But
I do anything to lose weight.
I'm going to wake up one day 15 pounds lighter, but Claire, it just doesn't happen.
I'd love to lose weight, except, and I'd do anything to lose 10 pounds, except diet, exercise,
any better. Diet, right?
No. Well, but it's the same thing. You know, it's the same thing. Like you have to be engaged in the process and know you can't control and, you know, that's right to give that up, but you need to apply the practices that we've taught you on an ongoing basis and you will succeed if you do that. The second biggest mistake we see women make is to make it mean that you're doing something wrong or the universe doesn't support you if you meet men you're not attracted to or you have a bad experience. How often have you heard this, Ariel? You know, I went out and I put all online dating and then I went out on a date and I was just like this man, I was just so not attracted to him. Like, what's the universe sending me? Does the universe not know that I deserve more? Right.
So Liz Dawn went out on 79 first coffee dates.
Okay, it's going to feel uncomfortable. It's going to feel uncomfortable. You might hate it at times. It might feel really bad. You might meet men who are absolute frogs as opposed to your prince. And that is no sign that you are off course or that you are doing something wrong or that you aren't just one coffee date away from meeting your soulmate. We know another woman we were speaking to, remember we were talking about Christina's friend, she went on a similar number of coffee dates. How many was it? Was it about 70?
She went on 79 as well, and now she said
78 were horrible.
Right.
I mean, she really had a bad experience. So, no, but this is the mistake, to make having bad experiences or you're meeting men who aren't worthy of you somehow that's what the universe is sending you or any sign that that's what you should deserve. No, you actually are, if you are out there, if you're meeting people, if you're connecting, if you're applying this, every experience, you are one step closer to success. And in the third biggest mistake that we see women make is giving up. Right? So if you have bad experiences or you're passive, the conclusion is this doesn't work and it's not possible, and so I'm just going to give up. Oh, well. And then minimizing the desire for love or relationships aren't that great anyway. Maybe I'm meant to be alone. That is absolutely not true. Everyone at any stage of life, at any age, I mean, the women we have seen succeed applying these keys, in their 80s, in their 70s, in their 60s.
Wait, let's talk about Louise Hay for a second, who had
in her 90s,
old,
90 years old.
Soulmate.
Yeah, in her 90s, exactly. So So there is absolutely no reason in this world why you cannot have a great love. And if you're giving up, you can be honest and you can just decide, okay, relationship's not that important to me, but don't make up BS excuses that it's not meant to be or I can't have love because it's not true. And so that's the third mistake that women will make. So we don't want this to be you. We want to tell you the three things that you must do to be able to succeed. So the number one thing you absolutely must do is you must make this a priority. You have to make this a priority. Just like if you were wanting to create a new career or get a new job, you would need to put some energy into this, right? You need to put some energy, and you need to keep your attention on manifesting love. Like Marianne said, keeping your attention on love, building a field of love, keeping your attention in possibility, listening to our inspiring success stories, listening to the seminars, keeping your attention, creating space. Stop filling up your life with activity so that it's only, you know, at 11 o'clock on a Saturday night that you realize that you don't have anyone to join you for brunch on Sunday because your life is just so full with doing. You have to create space now. And create and actually create space and give your attention to the process of creating love from the inside out. So that's what you absolutely must do is give time, give attention, make this the number one priority in your life. When I was doing this process, Ariel was doing this process, and the women we've seen succeed, they made it the number one priority in their life for a time to give this conscious effort. It doesn't mean that they weren't rocking the world. Liz Dawn had a very busy life and business while she was doing this, but she would go on 3 coffee dates a day in between. Everyone can do this, even if you have a big, full life. You must prioritize this, and you will succeed. The second thing that you need to do is you must keep learning and growing. You must keep developing your skills at being able to make connections. You must keep clarifying your intention. You must keep preparing yourself to become the person you would need to be to receive the relationship and the love that you desire. So this is where the mistake is, to just wait and it's passive, as opposed to the thing that you must do to succeed is you must be preparing. Preparing each and every day. So listening to seminars, imagining, savoring. This is the last. If you absolutely knew you were going to meet your soulmate in 3 months from now, are you ready? Is your home ready? Is your mind ready? Is your body ready? Are you prepared? Are you developed? Do you know how to ask for what you need? Do you know how to navigate conflict? Do you know how to navigate differences? Do you know what it is that you're looking for? That whole process of clarification. Like, what are the things that you absolutely need to have this relationship be successful? So this is the second thing you must do to succeed, is that you are developing, learning, growing each and every day and preparing for meeting your beloved soulmate. And the third thing is you absolutely need support, because there's times where you can't hold possibility for yourself. There are times when you need to be inspired and reignited. I mean, if you think about how much possibility and energy and support you have felt being part of this community, it's very hard for us to hold possibility where we felt disappointed or we felt let down. You know, if you have, I'm trying to think of a good metaphor. If you get the wrong pair of shoes from Zappos in the mail, you don't make it mean that you're never meant to walk again. Whereas you go out on a date and it's like not what you expect. You make it mean God doesn't want me to have love. You know, you get triggered into all of your old stuff. We're so vulnerable when we take risks and we put ourselves out there, that we need to have a field of support to come back to be uplifted by, to be elevated by, to, you know, be on calls like this with this kind of community. So you need to find a friend. And we would love to, along with our tribe of amazing women, be your vision keepers and guides as well. So, Arielle, we are, you know what? I just want to keep going on because I don't want to end.
We did promise an amazing little ritual.
We are. We're going to do our little ritual, and then we're going to end. So let's do this. Let's put everything to one side, and let's stand together in our circle. And just have a shake and just move around. Just take a nice deep breath, breathing all the way down into your hips, down into your legs, down into the soles of your feet and into the earth. All of us together expanding and amplifying our power to manifest, to create, to open, to receive. Inviting you to see your soulmate standing in front of you. Knowing that you are already powerfully connected, that your very existence is more than enough to be worthy of receiving this beloved into your life. That who you are is deeply worthy. And we're going to end where we began at the very beginning with the sacred invocation that Marianne shared. To open our hearts to love. Dear God, may we experience your mercy and place in your hands the loving relationship that we desire to create right now, and pray that it's blessed and that we are lifted above and beyond any walls that would divide us. We pray that you place within our hearts all that is magnificent, wise, and true, that we might become masters at love. Remove from our hearts and minds any barriers to love that might flow freely into and through us. Place in our path the perfect partners, the perfect loving relationships that we are destined to be a part of and create together. And together we simply say yes and thank you, and so it is and so it shall be. Arielle, it has been such an amazing experience. I love you so much. I love everyone in our community so much.
Space for all this love and beloveds and soulmates for all of you. Thank you for spending so much quality time with us, being open-hearted and open-minded. And just know that if you have the desire for soulmate love, it is already yours. Just breathe that in.
It's already yours. Thank you so much, everybody. We love you. We appreciate you. We can't wait to be with you again soon. Much love, many blessings. Thank you for being part of our community.
Thank you for listening to Attract Your Soulmate, the keys conscious, smart, successful women need to know to attract the right partner and create lifelong love. For more information about how you can download the audios, visit artofloveaudios.com. Again, that's artofloveaudios.com. We want to thank our event partners, The Art of Love, today's leading online community for creating and sustaining extraordinary relationships, and Feminine Power, the leading online community, courses, and advanced coaching, facilitation, and leadership trainings designed to support women stepping into their highest possibilities. Find out more at femininepower.com. On behalf of your hosts, Arielle Ford and Claire Zammit, we want to thank you again for participating in this series and send you much support on your journey to lifelong love and happiness with your soulmate.